A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy first Saturday in November, everybody. Gotta love hearing that. November.
Yes, that means December and Christmas is around the corner.
And snow and cold and
buckle up.
Sleet and all of that good stuff.
Well, we've already had the sleet.
Yeah, but it's going to be more.
Yeah.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, washers and dryers can be really confusing appliances to purchase. There are so many different models, so many different types, and however do you know what the best one is? The scent of your entire family is dependent on you getting a washer that works really well.
Right. Just think of that. The scent of your whole family depends on you doing this right. Well, we want to help you. So we don't want to smell stinky anybody.
No.
So we're in the studio with Steve Rosema from Northgate Appliance, and he's going to tell us what we need to look for in a new washer and dryer.
We'll also be talking about a paint product that might be the perfect solution for you if you've been struggling with a damp basement from all of this recent rain.
And in about 15 minutes or so, clogged drains are a real pain in the neck. But hold on. Don't call a plumber just yet. There are a few do-it-yourselfer solutions that you can try that don't involve nasty chemicals.
But first, moving into a house can be a crazy experience. There's so much to do. There are things to unpack. There are things to organize. There's painting to do, remodeling to start. The list goes on and on and on.
Right. We found an article last week posted on the Family Handyman website, and it was titled 20 Things to Do When You Move Into Your New Home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll link to the original in the show notes, but we thought we'd share it with you, you know, after making a few tweaks of our own.
Right. We won't get to all of them because it's a fairly extensive list.
Nobody wants to sit there and listen to us go through 20 things you need to do.
No, but really, these things are really, really good. It's a list, but not really an ordered list. It's just an idea of some things that need to be done. So just take the things that you think will work for you.
Right. And it's important to realize that even if you're not in a new home or mm-hmm. moving into a new home, these are things that will apply no matter what.
Absolutely.
So the first one is this. Make a prioritized list. Okay.
Yes. Now, this should be at the top of your list.
Just said it's not ordered, but this is
this
the first thing to do.
Yes.
When you move in, take that first 24 hours, put a blank piece of paper somewhere where everybody knows where it is,
mm-hmm.
and then have everybody add to that list anything that comes to their mind.
Right. Now, after the 24 hours are up, take the list down and go through the items one by one and label them 1 through 3. So items that are labeled number one need to be completed within the week, the things that are really the most important to you. Items that are labeled number two are things that you just want to have done within the next couple of months. And the things that are labeled three are the things that you want to do within the next year, maybe a little bit longer. They're non-essential things, things that you just want to be thinking about.
Exactly. Now, this is great with a new house, but it's also good with an old house. It really
mm-hmm.
helps you see what needs to be done based on everybody's opinion.
Right.
Now, it also helps you create a prioritized list so you can hopefully get these things wrapped up.
Right.
You know, basically, if you feel there's a million things to do in your home, go ahead and try this, because writing them down actually helps you face them. You know, naming
yeah.
your fears helps you face them.
Exactly.
Writing these things down helps you see what's out there. And then
right.
prioritizing them helps you accomplish them.
Right. Another thing you want to do is clean your refrigerator coils. I think a lot of people skip this thing, especially when they're moving into a new house.
I didn't even think about it.
Well, it's something that just doesn't come to your mind.
Crammed a bunch of food into the refrigerator,
yep.
called it good. But before you do that, we should have pulled the refrigerator out.
Yes. Pulled it out, unplugged it, and then cleaned the condenser coils. It keeps the condenser from working harder and heating up too much. It makes it more efficient, and it's not going to burn out your fridge prematurely, because let's face it, many of us don't clean the condenser coils very often at all, so there's a chance that the last homeowner didn't, so that's where you should start.
It's a great first step. You just know you've got a good clean start with that.
Right.
Along those same lines, do the same thing for your dryer.
Yes.
Right? You're supposed to empty and clean out the dryer and the ducting from all the lint that collects
mm-hmm.
in there.
Yep.
We actually covered that on episode 8. So you can
yep.
go back in our show notes and listen to how to go about
exactly.
cleaning that dryer out. There's a lot of involved steps that can go pretty fast.
Right.
But it's more than just cleaning out the lint filter.
Right.
But anyway, a lot of people don't do that. So again, it's a great base step. Get that done, get that out of the way, and you know where you're starting from with this new house, that's clean and ready to go. And just like the refrigerator, if you haven't done that in your house in a while,
mm-hmm.
get on it. It's a perfect project.
Exactly. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about some things that you should do as soon as you move into a new house, or maybe even things that you should do even if you're not in a new house. Just some things to maybe be considering. Another thing, I never thought of this. Install a new toilet seat.
When I read that in this article, I thought, you, sir, whoever wrote this,
you
or ma'am,
are brilliant. Yes.
Because we moved in and there's a toilet seat, and I spent forever scrubbing that.
Right.
Forever.
Just take it off.
Issues.
Yeah, I did too.
If I had just replaced the stupid thing. Yep. Done and done. It's a brand new, clean start.
Exactly.
That's what you want.
They're
there.
Fairly inexpensive. And now they have those quick release ones that you can take off easily to clean when it's time to clean. So just put a new seat on. It's so much better.
Right. Other things that they had on the list. And again, these are perfect no matter whether you're moving in or whether you've been there for a while. But replace the furnace filter.
Yep.
Go ahead and clean the air conditioner.
Right.
You know, we talked about that on another episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what episode that was?
I don't remember what
episode
that was.
We'll put a link in the show notes because
yes, we will.
I don't remember which
we'll
episode that was either.
We'll put this list in the show notes. Our list here and put links when we have something.
Perfect. Another thing to do is to locate the main water shutoff.
Right. A lot of people have no idea where the main shutoff is for their home. So find it and mark it as such. And sometimes there are other shutoff valves in the basement. Be sure that you mark those, what they're running to, because otherwise you just have a bunch of things that you have no idea what they go to. And then make sure everyone in the household knows where these shutoffs are. Make sure everyone knows how to shut off upstairs, the toilet, the washer, the toilet supply line, right.
Under the sinks. Find those things.
Yes.
And like Betsy's saying, make sure everybody knows about them. We've run into, just doing this show, just talking to people, I've run into at least five or six people that mentioned huge problems that happened because their kids were home and didn't know where shutoffs were.
Right.
And couldn't get to it. It was a problem that would have been fixed in seconds by turning a valve off.
Right.
And yet the people in the house didn't know where they were or that they were even around.
Exactly.
Let everybody know. It's a perfect thing to do. Again, moving into a new house, of course, find all those things. If you're in a house and have been there for years, make sure everybody's aware of them.
Yes. Also, it's the same thing with the electrical panel. We all assume that it's in a basement or, you know, somewhere centrally located where you can find it. That's not always the case. I have heard of people who have them way back in a closet somewhere.
Right. So take some time to find that panel just so you know where it's at.
Yep.
Do the other basic things. Check your smoke and your carbon monoxide detectors. Make sure there's new batteries in those.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your sump pump works. I like that one. And
yes.
Do it before the rainy season.
Yeah.
Don't wait till it's pouring rain and then find out it doesn't work. Test it ahead of time.
Right. So those are all the basics that you need to do when you move into a home. But here's one that we really liked because it's a little more outside of the box. They suggest living in your home for a while before you make any big changes. A lot of people go through a house, they see the things that, oh, I would change this and I would change this and I would change this. But after you've lived in it for a while, you might find that you can actually live with those things or, oh, that's not as bad as I thought. I don't need to change it. I really actually like that.
Right.
Thing.
You might not understand how you're going to use the space.
Right.
You know, so you create this idea that I've got to get all these things done. It creates a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And yet you might make changes that you regret later. I had this where we moved in. We had a formal living room. And everybody, as we walked through the house and showed our parents and all of that, every single person said, wow, this room's probably not going to get used a lot because you have a really nice family room in the back.
Right.
Nobody's going to really want to use this formal living room.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking of all the things that we'll do with this room. How will we make use of it?
Right.
Turns out we use that room a lot because of the morning sunlight comes in there. It is the best place to be in the house.
Right.
In a morning and an afternoon. I love that room.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have dreamed it. Nobody would have dreamed that we'd used it as much as we did. And we never would have known if we'd have made changes right away. So live there until you see how you're going to use the space.
Yes.
Now, while we're telling you not to make changes, the next thing on their list, or one of the other things on their list that I thought was brilliant, is you do need to make one space in the house that's completely wrapped up. And it's kind of a haven. It's a retreat.
Yes.
So, yes, you can leave some of this other stuff undone as you try to get your feet underneath you, but find a way to create at least one room, whether it's a bedroom, whether it's a back living room or a family room or something like that.
Yep.
Some room that is mostly complete where you can all go and kind of just crash.
Right. That's the one room that you want to have unpacked first. That's the one room where you want to love the colors. That's the place where you can go settle in and just detox from all the commotion that's going on around you. And you can sit there and think about all of the other things that you want to do. But you know, in that one space, you don't have to do anything. It's ready to go. It's the way you want it.
See, I'm a person that if there's mess or clutter or anything around within my visual realm,
right,
it completely messes with me. Right. I can't rest. I drive my family insane because I'm constantly cleaning and picking up because I can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved in, I needed a space that I could at least sit there. And as far as my little eyes could see, at least this room was complete.
No boxes, nothing, just hanging out waiting to be done. It's the space where everything's done already.
You'll be amazed what that will do just for your psyche.
Exactly.
And how that will help your family.
Right. And last but not least, go and meet your neighbors so that you know the people around you. Introduce yourself. It's a good first step.
It's a great first step. Now, nobody likes clogged drains. Nobody likes slow drains.
No.
Maybe a couple crazy people, but most people don't like them. When we come back, we're going to tell you how you can clean that problem up without having to call a plumber. Stay tuned. RepcoLite and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Dan Skipper from Skip's Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint and RepcoLite is my store.
The six West Michigan RepcoLite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back, and I'm excited because you and I are going to talk plumbing without a plumber here.
And you're pretty proud.
I am proud. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, in kicking ideas around for what we should cover, you know, on this home improvement show, I started thinking about one of the things that I wish I had known as a homeowner years ago. What
would
have helped me?
How to not hurt yourself.
How to not hurt myself was one thing, yes. I spent a lot of time in the ER.
Or bleeding.
Because I work fast.
Yes, you
got to
slow
thing.
Down.
But the other thing is dealing with clogged drains, slow drains.
Yes.
I always got something in the house, one sink or something where it's just not draining well, the tub, you name it.
Yep.
But there are easy ways that we as homeowners can fix these things without having to resort to hiring a plumber or even pouring chemicals down there.
Right.
And that's what we're going to talk about, some basic things. So the first one is really simple.
Mm-hmm.
You just take a look at the drain and remove any obvious obstructions. If there's a tennis ball stuck in there, that might be the problem. Maybe it works.
Maybe. The first thing, if you're working with a sink in your bathroom, then take out that little stopper that is in there. See if there's anything down there. Get a flashlight. Just
hair,
look
stuff
down
like
there.
That. It can collect sometimes, around that stopper.
Exactly. Yep. Try that first. You know, kitchen sinks. Sometimes there's just stuff that's stuck right where you can get at it with a pair of pliers. Check that first.
I have never been that lucky.
Yeah,
but that's
neither.
The first place to start. Before you go crazy, start there.
Yep.
The other thing is to plunge.
You know,
so we're not really breaking any new ground here. This is all pretty basic stuff.
Right.
But you get a plunger, and a couple of the things just to make sure you're doing it right. The whole deal is to create a vacuum.
Right.
So if you plunge like crazy, but leave the overflow drains or the holes like in a bathroom sink unplugged, it's just going to suck through that, and you're not really doing anything.
Yep.
I've seen people do that. My kids have done that. Just plunging away, and you just hear,
right.
And you're like, you guys,
you
you're doing nothing
hole.
Here.
Right.
So you plug those holes. Put a wet rag over them.
Yep.
I use a little plastic bag from shopping, you know, and that seals it very well.
Right.
If it's a kitchen sink, make sure you seal the other drain.
Right.
You know, the one that you're not working on. You've got to create that tight seal. And then you just plunge like crazy, maybe up and down 20 times like you're trying to save somebody's life with CPR.
Right. Exactly.
And then you really pop that sucker off on the last one. And that's, you know, maybe going to loosen things up.
Right.
You may need to do it a few times.
Yes. And make sure you have the right plunger for the job. There are actually smaller plungers that are made specifically for sinks so that it gets a better seal on it.
It's
Don't use your toilet plunger.
Right. It's called a, for any number of reasons.
Yes.
No, it's called a cup plunger or a sink plunger, and it's basically what you think of when you think of a plunger.
Right.
You know, all the old cartoons where they would shoot a plunger, like on a bow and arrow, and it'd stick to somebody's face.
Yes.
That's a sink plunger.
Exactly.
Get that, and go to town on the sink.
Right.
There are flanged plungers that work really well for toilets.
Mm-hmm.
There are accordion plungers
right.
that are also ideal for toilets. I have one of those.
Yes.
And the first place I tried it was a sink.
And it didn't
doesn't
work
at all. It's very right. tough to get a good seal.
Yeah.
So the basic thing with plunging is get a good seal, go to town on it, and really pop it off at the end.
Right. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about fixing your clogged drain without a plumber, which is fun for us because, hey, this is something that we can handle. These are the easy steps.
Save money.
Yes, exactly. So if you've tried the plunging thing and it's not working out, you're going to have to go under the sink and check there. The first place to check is that P-trap. In our experience, that is generally not where the clog is. It'd be so much easier if it was.
Yeah, I have never had it be there. But start with that. It's that little elbow-shaped pipe
right.
under the sink. So get that off.
See
check
if anything's
that.
In
Maybe
there.
Something's collected.
Maybe
in
you'll
there.
Be lucky.
If you are lucky, clean it out, put it all back together.
Right.
Run a test. If the water drains, you're good to go. If
right.
it doesn't, there's one last thing that you can try that I think is really brilliant. You need a cable auger.
You now, love this tool.
It is cool. It's inexpensive, and it's basically just a plastic drum on a handle,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a crank on it.
Right.
And the drum, that plastic drum, houses a flexible steel cable
mm-hmm.
that's wound around a spool inside.
Right.
Sounds very complicated, but really all it does is basically a pipe snake that
yeah.
when you crank the auger, it grinds itself or pulls itself, feeds itself into the pipes.
Right.
They can be up to 100 foot long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you generally only need for a homeowner, probably a 25 foot one.
Yeah, you don't need to go all the way out to the street.
Not normally.
No.
No, the one I have is 25 foot, and I have solved so many problems with this thing.
Yep.
It is wonderful to use. Basically, all you need to do is remove the pipes
mm-hmm.
so you can get to the drain stub out, which is just that short piece of pipe that's coming out of the wall.
Right.
So you get to that point, and then you feel the auger in.
Mm-hmm.
You basically pull out about 10 to 18 inches of that cable,
yep.
and then there's a little set screw that you
right.
tighten,
yep.
and that locks it in place, and you feed that 10 to 18 inches in until it stops,
mm-hmm.
and it will hit a pipe as it starts to turn or something,
right.
and then you start turning the crank,
yep.
and it will suddenly start to feed itself in. It's like magic. It's really fun to watch. And then you loosen the screw, pull out a few more feet,
right.
tighten the screw, and crank it in.
Mm-hmm.
It will keep working its way down. You'll run into curves or, you know, bends
right.
in the pipe, and
yep.
it looks like it stopped. If you pull it back a little bit and keep feeding it through, it will eventually find its way.
Yep.
And it will get to that clogged area.
Right.
And it will cut through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pull it back out, you're going to need to have rags on hand.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to wipe the filth. And let me underscore the fact that there will be filth.
Absolutely. It is
truest,
disgusting.
Most purest sense of the word.
Black
the purest filth you will ever find will come out of your sink. It
yes.
is unreal. And at first, this is my experience, I am utterly repulsed.
Right.
You know, there's almost this gag reflex that kicks
yep.
in as you're pulling this black gunk.
Ugh.
And then it becomes very
what
curious.
What is that?
What is it? And I almost start to bond with,
right.
I wonder what this stuff is. Is this a dead mouse?
How long has it been there?
No, it's just a wad of hair. How did it get this way? It's very
How
interesting.
How did that get in my kitchen sink?
Right. So have rags, have drop cloths
yep.
down, do all of that because it is filthy.
Right.
And what always happens to me is I pull it out, and be careful because that last little bit, when you pull those last couple
inches
out, it's
you.
Like a spring, and it flings, and my mouth is always open when that happens. And then the gag reflex kicks back in. These things are easy ways to fix a
yeah.
drain. You know, the more pipes you take apart, the little trickier it gets.
Right.
You've got to have patience when you're doing plumbing.
Yeah.
Start a project when you've got enough time ahead of you. Start
right.
a project when there's a hardware store open where you can
right.
run and get some supplies if you need them.
Right.
Make sure you've got the Teflon tape for your PVC pipes or the pipe dope for your metal pipes on hand.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things. If you take those preparations, you're going to be able to fix these problems without having to get a plumber here.
Right.
It's a great way to go.
Now, one quick word of caution as we bring this thing to a close. If you choose to use those liquid drain cleaners, be sure that you're not plunging or snaking after you've put that down there. There's a certain period of time you have to wait. A lot of plumbers don't recommend that you use those because they don't do the job. And a lot of plumbers won't come out if you have used those. They have to wait that certain period of time because they are chemicals and they don't want to be working in it.
Right.
So just think about that before you use
them. If you've poured it down there, give it time before you plunge it or snake it.
Right.
All right. Over the last few weeks, we've had a lot of rain, and some of us are dealing with wet basements. Did you know that there's a paint product that actually could solve that damp basement problem? We're going to tell you what it is when we come back. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Repcolite and Benjamin Moore present a shout-out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Kurt Van Overloop from KVO Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint and Repcolite is my store.
The six West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around through the break. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, we've had a lot of rain this week, and I'm guessing that there are some people out there who might be dealing with at least damp, if not potentially very wet basements, just because the rain has come in buckets and torrents.
Now, I know that my wife and I had this at our first house. You know, we never had pools and pools of water. Mm-hmm. But when it would rain, when we'd get storms or systems like this that would move through and stay for a week or two, we'd end up with water starting to come in through the walls. Right. And then began a great big process. Probably once or twice a year I had to do this, get the shop vac out, keep up on it, because I couldn't let it get too bad because I didn't have a sump pump to push it to. It was just a lot of work. I hated it. I'd get super tense every time it would start to rain.
Imagine that.
Oh, and it's not good. I'm not good tense.
No, no.
I'm barely functioning when I'm calm. But when I'm tense, there's a whole new level that happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, Water Block is a product, a paint product, a paint waterproofer that we want to talk about because I didn't know about it all those years ago. And I can guarantee there's a lot of people listening right now who have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
And this is something that might be a fix for you. Water Block is specifically designed for problem basements, and it really works.
It does. It's made by Benjamin Moore, or specifically Insulex. Insulex is owned by Benjamin Moore. And it keeps the water that's, you know, seeping in from the outside from actually coming through your walls and then dripping down them or making your basement completely soggy.
Right. See, underground water is always looking for the path of least resistance.
Yes.
It's under a fair amount of pressure, and it just keeps moving around, looking for that path, that easiest way
out.
Through.
Yep.
And typically, when it hits your concrete walls, the foundation walls, that turns out to be the path of least resistance.
Right.
You know, concrete is incredibly porous. It absorbs the water like a sponge, and you end up with it running down the walls and in your basement when you've got a situation like this. You really need something with good resistance to pressure that you can put on those inside walls. And that's exactly what Water Block is.
Right. Water Block, you know, locks onto that bare block. You know, it has to be bare because this needs something to hold on to. And what it does is it creates an impermeable layer, basically. You know, regular paint, if you put it on there, it breathes a little bit. So moisture and that water can still come through. And eventually it just pops your coating off. This one is not breathable. So it's going to hold in there. It's going to seep into the pores a little bit. And it's going to stay there because that water is blocked from coming through. Hence, Water Block.
Right. And Water Block will... Very good, Betsy. Water Block will resist pressure up to about 12 PSI, which is very high. Average ground pressure is, you know, in the range from 8 to 10 PSI for water. So Water Block will resist most situations of water coming through your walls.
Right.
And again, like Betsy said, we've said it a couple times, it's got to be on bare concrete. So if you're sitting with a situation right now and you've got bare concrete blocks in your basement, you're a candidate for Water Block.
Yes.
It can help you with moisture problems. It can help you with a damp, musty basement. If there's paint on the walls, then you're going to have to look for other solutions.
Right.
But if you have bare walls, definitely think about it before you just go to regular paint.
Right.
Because once regular paint is on the walls, Water Block's no longer an option for you.
Right.
You know, we had a customer not too long ago who came in with, you know, this exact same problem. You know, a fair amount of water, and they've been dealing with it like I had for years and years. You know, we're not talking pooling water where they have furniture floating or anything like that, kids swimming, you know, nothing like that.
Yes.
But water around the edges, just like I had. Very big nuisance and a horribly damp, musty smell all the time.
Right.
They put Water Block on the walls, dramatically reduced that problem. Didn't completely stop all the water from coming in, but so dramatically reduced the problem. The customer was absolutely thrilled. And as a bonus, it reduced the musty smell completely. I think it completely removed the musty smell.
Yeah. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about a product called Water Block that is made specifically for wet basements. You know, it goes on your walls. It cannot go on your floor. I just want to throw that out there. It has to go on the walls. It's not durable to be walked on and things like that. Plus, pressure from the ground is more
much higher than
your
wall
walls.
Pressure, right? So
right.
It's just not going to work for a floor.
Yep.
Works great on the walls. If you're thinking this is a solution for you, and you want to know how you apply it, how you prep the walls, there's nothing to it. It's just like any regular paint project.
Right.
Prep the walls well. Make sure they're clean. Make sure they're dry. If you've got mold or mildew down there, you're going to have to use a bleach solution with water, you know, and kill that. Make sure that's gone. And if you've got efflorescence down there, you're going to need to get that off. Yep. Efflorescence very quickly is just a white powder. You might see that on the block forming in your basement in various areas. It's really just, you know, to simplify it, a reaction between the moisture coming through and the concrete.
Yes.
And it forms this powder. Get that off with a wire brush.
Yep.
At that point, once the walls are clean and dry, you just roll water block on. You use a half inch nap cover, three quarter inch nap cover.
Yeah.
Put a couple coats on and that should be good.
Just a warning, this stuff does not go very far. It's kind of like block filler. You know, you're only going to get maybe 70 to 150 square feet at the most out of this product. So just be prepared that, you know, you're going to need more gallons than you think you should. And then, you know, it can be painted over when you're all done if you want a color down there. Just make sure that when you're doing this, you're doing it when the walls are maybe only slightly damp. You definitely don't want them to be wet, you know, like right after it's rained and you're trying to dry everything out. Wait until those walls have dried as much as they possibly can, you know, not bone dry, because sometimes that just can't happen, but at least, you know, just very slightly damp.
The only other things you would need to think about is if you've got any holes or gaps or cracks that are an eighth inch or more, then you're going to need to fill those with a hydraulic cement.
Yep, before you put this on.
Right, smaller things can be patched and filled with caulk or anything like that.
Exactly.
Now, water block may solve a lot of problems. In fact, it will solve a lot of problems. It may solve yours.
Yes.
May entirely solve it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also other things you can do to eliminate moisture. You know, I went through all of these when I had the moisture problem in my house, and it dramatically reduced it. For example, gutters.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have, you know, rain gutters installed,
install them.
Make sure those downspouts channel the water at least 10 feet away from the house if possible.
Right.
Make sure the grade slopes away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different things you can do that will dramatically help fix that problem.
Right.
Now, when it comes to washing machines, there are all kinds of options out there. Front loaders, top loaders, agitator-free models. Which one's best? Which one's right for your family? Well, after the break, we're going to be in the studio with Steve Rosema from Northgate Appliance, and he's going to take the mystery out of washing machine shopping. Stick around. Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Jeremy Wiersma with Wiersma Painting and Finishing. Benjamin Moore is my paint and Repco Light is my store.
The six West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is back on the air. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, shopping for washing machines, at least for me, is really confusing. It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
There are just tons of options out there.
Yes.
And tons of opinions.
Yes, everybody's got one. So we are in the studio with Steve Rosema from Northgate Appliance, and he's actually going to help us cut through all of that confusion. Steve, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's good to be here, Betsy.
Okay, now, looking for a washer and dryer has me utterly confused. I mean, I thought I wanted a front loader, but then I hear people talking about how they actually smell really bad over time, and I don't want that. You know, I thought I had it all figured out, and now I feel like I'm back at square one. So help me out here. How do I find the right washer and dryer? What should I be looking for?
Hey, there's basically three different styles or types of washers today. So they make the dryers to match the washers. So we're not going to talk so much about the dryers.
Okay.
But the washer is really the key. And so the one that we typically will recommend to most people, depending on how big their family is, how much laundry they're doing, but the biggest one that we recommend is still going to be actually the front load.
Okay.
And the reason is it is the best cleaning washer there is.
Really?
The way that the clothes tumble through the water, you have a lot more mechanical action on that on those clothes, and it will do a better job cleaning in the front load washer. One of the other big options or the big benefits to the front load washer is you get the usable capacity. So you'll see other washers that, you know, now they're taking agitators out of washers and things like that in the top load. So they look like they have these enormous capacity, but it's not really usable capacity because it doesn't do a good job turning the clothes over like what a front load would do.
Okay. So when I look at, because I know exactly what you're talking about, I open up, we have a top loading washer. Open it up, and it looks like that drum in that area is way bigger than what I see when I look at these front loaders.
Yeah.
But you're saying the usable space.
Yeah, you can't. You don't have to worry about overloading a front load within reason. So if you're not using a broomstick or using your foot to shove the clothes in there.
But wait a minute.
If you can fit it in there. If you can fit it into a front load without having to literally jam it in there, it'll do a good job washing it. And so most of them are now built for king size comforters and real big bedding and blankets and things like that. They also can wash pillows. They can wash pet bedding, stuff that you can't really do very well in a top load. So the versatility is there in a front load washer and the cleanability.
What about things like the water leaking, things like that? I mean,
when you have a front load washer, everybody says, well, how does the water not leak out the door? And if you ever have seen one while it's washing, it never actually has that much standing water in it where the water can leak out the door. And
right.
So again, the clothes are tumbling through what looks to be only 3 inches of water, but as it's going tumbling through it, you're getting, like I said, a lot of mechanical action. So it works really good to clean the clothes. It's the most gentle, and it's one of the more efficient machines. And so it has this high speed spin, and the high speed spin spins those clothes at, some of them are up to 1200, 1300, 1400 RPMs, which will spin those clothes out drier, which then
makes it easier on your
cuts
on your dryer.
Down your dry time, gotcha. Exactly. And which one of those two appliances do you think is the energy hog?
Oh, yeah.
It's the dryer. Yes, exactly. You have something that's using heating elements and gas to heat. That's your energy hog. So if we can eliminate or cut down on the drying time, it's going to certainly make your laundry room more efficient.
And so, are there downsides to a front loader?
So the downside that most people come up with are exactly what Betsy said earlier, is the smell. Like, traditionally, they
have a smell. I'm completely floored by that.
They used to. And so what we're finding is today, a lot of people have figured out how to eliminate it or have it not even show up in the first place. So 20 years ago, they came out with front loaders. They've actually had them for a lot longer than that, but on a more regularly available platform, about 20 years ago, they came out with the front loads, and people would wash and then they dry, but they leave their washer door closed all the time, and the boot or that rubber gasket in the front would get all moldy and just be disgusting. So you open the door and you take a whiff and it'd be woof. It's a strong mildew smell.
So it's not the children. That smell.
It's not the children. It's not the laundry.
Not
it's
necessarily
the washer
the children.
It's your amount of sweating.
I think it's the washer.
But what they've done now is they've done lots of improvements and upgrades over the last 20 years. So they treat that boot or that gasket with antimicrobial treatment, so that's resistant to mold and mildew. And people realize that occasionally I need to run either bleach or a cleaner through my washer to help eliminate that. And that's true on a top load as well, but it's especially imperative on the front load to once a month run a hot water and bleach cycle or run one of the commercially available cleaners through it. So that way you can keep that washer from smelling poorly.
We are talking about washers and dryers here on the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're here with Steve Rosema from Northgate Appliance. Now, you just talked about front load washers. What about these top load ones? You said something about ones that don't have the agitator in the center. This is a new concept to me because the only ones I've ever known have an agitator in the center. Let's talk about these.
Yeah, so they have there's a few different styles of those available as well, some that work well and some that honestly don't work that well. So if you must be buying a top loader and if you must buy one that doesn't have an agitator, then there's a certain things that we want to look for. So we want to make sure that if you're going to get one without an agitator, it's going to have a recirculating pump in it that takes the water from the bottom of the tub and recirculates it back up to the top. That certainly will help get the clothes cleaner because you're moving more water through the clothes. But all that being said, if you had an option to go with an agitator versus without an agitator, we at Northgate would recommend to go with an agitator the vast majority of the time.
Okay.
It's going to give you much better cleanability because of how it turns the clothes over. And so we sell a few different brands that have the agitator in it that we certainly would highly recommend. The Fisher Paykel is one of them. That's going to be a high efficiency model with an agitator. We've been selling it for 15 years or more. Had really good luck with it. They're easy to service. They're easy to work on. They've been very reliable. And they get that benefit of that high-speed spin. So it has an 1,100 RPM spin speed, like what the front load has, to spin those clothes out really dry to cut down on that dry time. Plus, you have the option on the Fisher Paykel to have all the adjustments that you want to have. So if you want to select a load size or water level, you can. You can adjust the spin speed. You can adjust all the things that you want to do. You look at a lot of these other non-agitator models that are high efficiency. The government at least says they're high efficiency. You don't have the option to adjust any of those things. It's pretty much you put it in, you say, I've got white clothes or I've got dark clothes in it, and you push start and it determines everything for you. You don't get any options to change it if you have something that's really dirty or something like that. You don't have that option. So
really? So what is the big push with a washer without an agitator? Is it just
the
space?
The big push is capacity. They open it up and they say, wow, I can fit my bedding in there.
But it just
and
won't wash.
You
it
literally
very well.
Can fit your bedding in there. It just isn't going to wash them like what a front load would.
Right.
We sell them. We don't push them. And so if you come in and say, that's exactly what I want, we'll say, okay. But if we look back at our service history on our washers over the last 10 years, more people complain about cleanability in those top loads without the agitator than in anything else. And so we try not to sell things that people aren't happy with, right?
Right.
And so they're available. They're okay. If you don't get very dirty, if you're an office worker or if you're a retiree.
Wait a minute. I'm an office worker. I don't know what we're saying here. I'm an office worker and I'm filthy.
Well, that's because you sweat a lot.
Yeah. So I can't do that. So clean, non-sweaty office workers.
Right. Exactly. So all
delicate
that to say,
souls.
They do an okay job, but we certainly are finding better cleanability with the top loads with the agitator or the front loads would be the best option.
See, the thing I like about the front loads is they're much easier to stack than the top loads because the top loads are a real pain because you can stack them okay, but getting pieces and parts out when it's a lot
of work. Stacking is really nice. Yeah, you could take any of these front load sets that we sell. You can stack them to make more room in your laundry room. So
I want to make more room for a second set.
Yeah, we've done that a lot. We actually stack two sets right next to each other.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
so that's
if you have
like
a family, I've got four kids at home, so that makes sense, right? We're going to do all this laundry. Oh, especially when you get home from vacation, right? You have piles and piles of laundry. You can knock through it in 2 hours.
It's
like
he knows your family.
Well, he's got four kids. He's familiar. He knows what it's like. It's fun. It's crazy.
The only hesitation that we say at Northgate, at least, because we're a self-servicing dealer, if you're going to stack it, it does tend to increase your service costs because we use the analogy of stacking two cars in a garage. And something breaks on either the bottom car or the top car, you have to unstack them in order to work on them.
Right.
Oh,
the same is true with washers and dryers. So if you stack them in a laundry room and you need to put a new pump on your washer, for instance, you got to take the dryer off, then the top off the washer, then the front off the washer to get to the pump. So it's the service costs can go up a little bit when you stack. But a lot of times the convenience of being able to lay out your laundry room the way you want with a stackable far outweighs that.
Okay, very quickly. Just before we end here, I want to know about color options because I know that there used to be red and blue and who knows how many other colors. What's available now? What's popular now, I guess?
Yeah, so manufacturers did toy with some of the more bold colors like that a few years back.
Yep.
Today, you're not going to see the boldness in the colors of the laundry. A lot of times they'll paint paint their laundry room more of a bold color, mm-hmm. and they'll use the laundry as just a white piece in there. But they do have them available in several of the different shades of gray, we'll say. So the most popular one that we sell is titanium colored, but it's like a dark gray or a granite color.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's going to be the most popular. That's not saying there aren't other colors available. There are some other colors if you're really interested in something a different color, but that's the most popular besides white.
So, Steve, if any of our listeners want to get in contact with you about a new washer and dryer, have questions about the differences in these washers, how do they best do that?
Yeah, they can get a hold of us by phone, 616-396-4456, or they can check our website out at northgateappliance.com, and they can shoot me an email from there.
All right, Steve Rosema from Northgate Appliance, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
And that pretty much wraps up another episode of the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show. And yes, we do acknowledge that we did sneak a couple of reruns into that one. It's just been a crazy week here. We had that designer event on Wednesday night and all the setup and all the teardown. And basically, we ran out of time for show prep. So
we
picked a couple of our favorite segments and reran them. I figure if television shows can do that,
we
can probably sneak by once in a while.
Exactly.
Next week, we'll be back with new stuff.
Absolutely. In the meantime, you can check out all of our past episodes online. Just go to RepcoLite.com. And no matter what you're working on or where you're working this weekend, there's a RepcoLite or Port City Paint store right near you.
Right. We're open till 3 o'clock. Stop by and see us. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you keep your family smelling farm fresh in perfectly laundered clothes.
Farm fresh?
I think that means really fresh.
Yeah, really fresh.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Thanks for listening.